While Lynn was sharing this morning about what the Lord has done in his eye, all of a sudden I remembered a question that Lynn asked a few years ago. He said, "Where are the miracles?" Here's a miracle, Lynn. So praise the Lord for that. As I was thinking about this message for this Sunday, a number of things went through my mind, and I was drawn to this idea of how working together works. Working together is something that we understand somewhat, but I think it's something that if we understand better, our effectiveness will increase. There's a scripture over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, a few verses there that I want to read, and I'm going to refer to them a little bit later. Verses 9 through 12 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then shall they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." What does working together look like? You know, we've had this now for several months for our theme, this idea of working together. What does working together really look like? You know, we probably have some ideas, and they're probably good ideas. Glenford was asking for workers to go along to the World Missionary Press. That's working together. We talk about the jobs within the church, and each one doing their part and so on. Those things are involved with working together. But let's just take a little look this morning. What are the advantages and disadvantages of working together? In other words, how important is it? Is there, you know, if we took all the advantages and the disadvantages of working together and we listed them out and we weighed them out, what would we come up with? What does it take to understand working together and to make it work? Those of you that are in the workplace, in a group workplace, you understand a bit of how working together is supposed to work. You know, especially those of you that are in factories, you have a station here and a station here and a station here, and whatever you're making moves through the stations, and if the guy that's supposed to get his work done doesn't get his work done before the thing moves, it messes up everything. Right? Working together is important in that situation. So we have some ideas, but let's just look at this a little bit more. You know, do we really, as a church body, as Christian people, do we really understand this thing of working together? Can a church function effectively without working together? What do you think? How much do we have to work together to function effectively? If we do this much together, will we be effective? If we do this much together, will we be more effective? I think we have to understand there is a relationship here between our working together and how effective we are in ministry. Whose responsibility is it to work together? Yours, right? If you guys work together, then things work well. Is that how it works? I think that's something that we need to think about. Uh-oh. We got stuck, Craig. There you go.
There's a song that came to my mind. It's a song from back when I was young, called "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." And I want us to look at this song. It's not a Christian song at all. It does have some ideas that could be interpreted a little bit as a Christian thought. But the reason I want us to look at this song is because it's about working together, but it's in a way that maybe doesn't look like working together. Maybe it looks like working alone. The song says, "The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where and who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother." And the picture I found there, I thought fit really well. Just a little guy carrying his brother, or another child anyway. It goes on to say, "So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return." While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. What's this saying? If I understand right, this song was actually written about a situation where a person was carrying a crippled brother. And, you know, it's the thought that goes along with it. Is that my picture of working together? Or is my picture, I want to be the one that gets the ride? How does this working together thing look? I want us to turn to the scriptures and just look at some things. The Bible gives us some clues and hints and ideas about working together. When I was in school, one of my favorite studies was ants. I love to study ants. I love to watch ants. How many of you ever had an ant farm? Little pieces of glass so far apart and sand in there. You put ants in there and you just watch them make their tunnels and it's fun. Ants are amazing creatures. The Bible tells us, Proverbs says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider the ant and be wise." What does he say about the ant? The ant has no guide, overseer, or ruler. There's no king ant. There's no ants that stand there and tell everybody what to do. They all work together. Pretty effectively, right? You watch the ants and they're coming and going and you wonder, watch them touch noses or whatever they do there to see what's going on, and you just wonder how they accomplish what they accomplish. You go in some places and there are mounds as high as you are that the ants have built. All that's dirt they brought up from down in the earth with all their tunnels and everything. And you dig down a little bit, you find their eggs, you uncover them in the sun, and they run and grab the eggs and haul them into the shade as fast as they can. Who sounded the alarm? Who told them to go do that? He says they don't have a guide, overseer, or ruler. They work all summer so that they can survive through the winter. Where do the ants go in the winter? During the wintertime, you don't see them out crawling around all over. They've worked all summer
so that they can survive. He says, think about that. Then he also says that the ants are people, not straw.
You squish an ant and a whole pile of ants just like nothing.
They're people not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. They have what within them from God the wisdom to make preparations. And they work together in an amazing fashion to accomplish that. What happens if an ant goes up and grabs a piece that's bigger than he can handle? Two or three more show up, and you've seen them. Two or three, four or five ants grabbing a piece and dragging on it together, making it happen. Well, nobody said, hey, I can't handle this. You guys get over there and help. There's no overseer or ruler. They work together effectively. That's a challenge. Because people don't do that. Sorry. We're God's creation, but that's not the way it works with people. We've got to have something of organization and structure and so on, it seems, to be able to work together well. But there's the challenge that God gives to us. He had Solomon write this to us in the wisdom literature. Think about the ants. Learn from the ants to accomplish great things by working together. Ants just build a miles and miles of tunnels in the ground. They raise their young. They clean up debris and things that are laying there that they use for their food. You know, a little ant does that. Way up. Well, a whole bunch of them do. A whole bunch by working together. The second one that I have is the locust. Those pictures probably don't do justice too well. The one up in the right is a plague of locusts actually dimming the sun. The one in the bottom is locusts crawling all over something on the right, and the other one is a plant that they're stripping. You remember when God sent the locusts to Egypt as a plague? What happened? What happened in the land of Egypt when the locusts came?
Everything.
They ate the animals and the people and
everything
green, the locusts ate. Learn from the locusts to do the unimaginable by working together. If I brought a locust in here and held him up and said, this locust has the ability to desecrate the landscape here and leave everything totally brown, what would you say? Impossible. Right? A little locust? It can't happen. Well, that's right. Not by itself. But when the swarm comes, it happens. By working together. Something that's unimaginable. You know, you look out at all the trees when the leaves are all there, and the grass, and all the green around, and you say, there's no way that anything could show up and eat all of that. Especially little bugs. Right? It's unimaginable. But it's accomplished by them working together. Wait a minute. What does he say? The locusts have no king. But they go out in bands. There's no king says, okay, guys, time to go. Let's get together. Time to roll here. And so he gathers millions of them together and he takes off like an army. No, doesn't happen. Just like the ants. There's no guide, no overseer, no ruler. They work together and they just eat and eat and eat. and it's gone. So there's two lessons here that God gives us from nature about what can happen when we work together. He challenges us with it. The impossible and the unimaginable can be accomplished when we work together. It just depends how much we're willing to lay down our own stuff and work together. All right? Now, let's look back in Ecclesiastes here and let's think about the benefits of working together. When we work together, we become more productive. A few years ago, Luke came to us with a need in India from the persecuted church there for several tons of rice. Now, there may have been some of us who could have provided that alone. But as we worked together, that need was met almost immediately. And that's happened over and over in our congregation. I commend you for that. We are more productive when we work together. That's true physically. That's true spiritually. It's true in our everyday life. It's true in the church. We become more productive when we work together. Junior, which way can you cut a load of wood fast? By yourself or with help?
Help.
With help. We're more productive when we work together. And that's so true. And yet, we have this independent spirit that we like to work alone. Don't bother me, I'm doing my work, let me alone. We forget this truth that Solomon recognized, that when we work together, we're more productive. There's a second benefit here. When we work together, there's more security. He asked this question, and the mountain climbers there represented well for us. If one's by himself and he falls, there's nobody to help. You know, you're up on the mountain, you fall, you break your leg, or both legs, or your back. Nobody's with you, what's going to happen? You're going to die, buddy. That's just it. Unless some miracle takes place, you're just going to die. Because there's nobody there to help you. The same thing is true spiritually. We may be able to climb alone. We may be able to accomplish some things alone. But what's going to happen when we run into trouble? What's going to happen when we fall? What's going to happen when things don't go the way we plan? Are we going to be all done? If there's help, the work can go on. We can be strengthened. We can go on and accomplish. And so, the scripture here is telling us, look, there's reasons to work together. Physically, they make sense. Spiritually, they also make sense when we stop and think about them. When we work together, there's more resources. You can't see that very well, but that's a little gorilla or chimpanzee or whatever on the back of its mother. Why is that little one, and it's sleeping? Why does it sleep there like that? Why doesn't it go lay down somewhere under a tree or something? Why? Okay, it's more secure there. Why else? It gets warmth from its mother.
Sure. It needs that. And he says, you know, if two sleep together, they can have heat. But if one's there alone, how can it be warm? He's giving us a lesson, an illustration. He's telling us, look, when we put what we have together, we have more resources available. We're able to accomplish more. It benefits both of us. It's not just a benefit for me, not just a benefit for you. It benefits us all when we work together. I put my resources in, you put your resources in, and together, things are accomplished. And there are just so many applications to this. I'm not going to take time to necessarily apply all of this, but I want us to think about it. I want us to ask the Lord by His Spirit to apply it, help us to apply these things in our own lives and in our church life. There's more strength. He uses the illustration of a rope. The biggest ropes are made from the smallest threads. What happens with the small thread? It tears, right? But you take more and more and more of those and weave them together and wind them together, and it becomes stronger and stronger. So there's a lesson here for us in strength. He talks about a fight. You know, if you're on your own, you might get beat up. But when you've got two or three more to help you, then it's not so likely. The same way with the rope. By adding to that rope, it strengthens it. Now, let me ask you a question. Your presence in this congregation, is it strengthening this congregation? Or does it make no difference? If you were not here, would the congregation be any weaker? Good question to ask ourselves. Because that's a challenge. My presence, my participation, my working together should increase the strength. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. If I take that rope and I braid it with two more ropes exactly the same, make a threefold cord from that, and it's not any stronger than this one was, there's something wrong, right? The same lesson applies to us. Working together is for the purpose of more strength. Is it happening? Am I contributing? Or do I actually draw strength away? That happens too. People actually work against and draw strength away from God. And God says in Proverbs that He hates those that sow discord. Why? Because they take strength away. They're not working together. By working together, needs are met. You notice the guy up there has one huge piece of pie. Is that fair, Ray? It's not really fair, is it? I mean, I want some of that pie too, right? Looked pretty good. I'd like to have some. It isn't fair for that guy to have that big piece of pie all to himself. I mean, it's obvious he can't even eat it. By the time he gets it all done, it's going to be spoiled. Now, this gets down to where we live. Because somebody said when you preach, you don't talk about my money, for one thing, and you just don't tell me what to do. Okay? I'm not going to try to do that, but I do see the scripture talking about it. Paul says, look, I'm not saying that others should be eased and you should be burdened. What I am saying is that when you've been given a big piece of pie, as a Christian, as one who loves God, your desire is to share that pie with those that have the pie. Okay? That's what he's saying. By inequality, now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want or their lack. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, he that had gathered little had no lack. And that's referring back to Exodus with the manna and so on. God gives us what he gives us, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's ability, whatever area we want to look at, he gives it to us so that we can help to meet the needs of others around us. That's one of the purposes. In Ephesians, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see the contrast there? Before, he was thinking about himself, and so it was fine for him to go and take what somebody else had because he wanted it. Now he's saying, as a Christian, your heart has changed. You have the mind of God, the mind of Christ within you, and now you're not looking how your needs can be met. You're looking how you can help meet the needs of others. And so part of our working together is for the purpose of meeting others' needs. That's not just talking about money. That's included. But it's only a small part. So God is telling us, look, one of the benefits of working together is so that our needs can be met. We can work together to meet those needs.
Well, not wanting to cooperate with me too good here. There we go.
Failure to work together proves an absence of God's love in my heart. I don't know if you can see it well there or not. That picture is a picture of a beggar with a cup out with a few coins. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? John's saying, look, it does not work this way. And I'm not saying that we need to give to every beggar that we see. That's not my point. My point is, when we work together, what I have in abundance, I'm able to share with others that lack so that needs are met. If I don't have that perspective in my heart, John says, don't kid yourself, the love of God is not there. That's what John says. That's not me pointing a finger. That's what John says. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God notices working together. He's paying attention. And he loves to see working together. And Hebrews tells us, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. He's saying, look,
You've ministered to the saints, but that was showed toward His name. He notices that. He recognizes that. He appreciates that. When you work together, in whatever form that is, you see there's a number of things there that I've put on that can happen, that do happen. So He's saying, look, God notices you're working together. He pays attention to that. You know what? Those around us notice too. They're looking. They're watching. They notice if we're working together, and they notice if we're not working together. They see that. Jesus in John 17, in His high priestly prayer, He mentions this several times. Talking about working together. He says, there's a reason, one of the reasons that we need to work together. We need to be in unity. We need to be working together for the purpose of the kingdom. Look at those reasons. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. This is Jesus praying. He says, God, help my children to work together, to be one like we are, so that the world can know that You sent me. One of the most effective witnesses that we can have in our community is to work together. Don't worry. People know. People know. It doesn't take them long. They don't have to see much. They know if we're working together or if we're not. And what they see could determine whether they believe that Jesus is who He said He was. The other thing that He says here, and He repeats Himself in a sense, but He brings in something here. And this, there's something here that I never saw before until I was studying for this message. You see what that says? That the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them. I never saw that before. I saw the words, but I never saw what He was saying. He's saying, by us working together, the world sees that God loves them and sent His Son. Okay? That's amazing. That's huge. Our working together has the ability to show the world around us that God loves them. And are not working together has the ability to convince them that He doesn't care. Pretty huge. So this is how working together works. He gives us some illustrations from nature, the ants and the locusts. He gives us some illustrations from life. You know, the sleeping for heat, the strength of working together, and so on. And then He tells us why this is so important. Why this all fits together. We make God's name great by working together well. There's a challenge there for all of us. Because while I believe that by and large we work together well as a congregation, that doesn't mean we can't do better. We've got to keep goals there that keep us moving, that keep us working, that keep us reaching and striving for more. And so I'd like to challenge us this morning. Let's stop and ask ourselves, am I a part of a congregation, a part of God's family, that strengthens the family, that makes the family more effective, more secure, more productive? Or am I just here?
I contribute nothing. In fact, I take more than I contribute. I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and say, here's what you can change. Here's what you can do. Here's what will make you and those around you more effective for lifting up the name of God. Let's stand together for prayer. God, you've shown us from your word today some pretty hard things that they make us uncomfortable. They challenge our American lifestyle. They challenge our independent German background. They challenge us in a lot of ways, Lord, in our humanity. And I believe that you have a purpose in doing that. I believe that it's through that that you desire to strengthen us. And we pray, God, that you help each one of us to allow your Spirit to search deep in our hearts and to speak to those areas where we could strengthen the body, where we could add productivity, we could add security, we could add strength, we could meet needs, and we refuse. We look the other way. We act like it's not our part. Show us, Lord, and help us to be willing to respond in the way that you desire. We thank you. We bless your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.